But we're talking about missions. And we're going to look at the Great Commission passages in the Gospels and the Book of Acts. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. I'll be looking at verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Moving on to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 24, starting with the 45th verse. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then finally, from Acts, the Gospel of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word, that we don't have to guess what your will is. We can turn to your word and read it. Lord, we ask that you'd open up our hearts and minds to receive it, to understand it, and to see how we can best apply it and live it out in our lives. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I speak, I might encourage your people to be better followers of you. That I might somehow bring blessing to them that they can then share with others. Lord, we ask for your presence to be here, that you would move mightily upon us, among us, and within us. That at every aspect, we would see you and your mighty power, and know indeed that you are God. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God. Amen. I read five separate passages out of five separate books. They all had a relatively similar theme. We're to take the gospel to all nations. This is what we refer to as the Great Commission. Generally, when people talk about the Great Commission, they're specifically speaking about Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 there. But there's a Great Commission passage in each of the Gospels. Now, I like books. How many of you have been in my office? I have books, don't I? Yes. I have more books at home. I look at book magazines. I mean, ooh, a book, a picture of a book. You know, I like books. And the thing is about books is even books on the similar topic are different. You see that all over the place. Even within the Bible, we have different books, and we have different books which talk about the same thing. With one particular group that we refer to as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're different books written by different authors, yet they're on the same topic, Jesus and his life and ministry as he walked this earth. And they all talk about different things because they have each have a little bit different audience. I happen to like science fiction and fantasy. I know some people think that's very unsanctified, but I like it. I read a lot of it. Donna's father reads westerns. My stepfather reads military, flying stuff he likes, and mysteries. We have people who, and when you read from different authors, you get different things. Now, I have read some authors who've written multiple books in different genre. And each one is a little bit different because they're writing to a different audience. If you're writing to young adults, generally your protagonist is a young adult. It's kind of surprising how it works out that way. But there's different groups. And if you're you like people who like westerns, you better have a horse in there somewhere. I mean, it's just, it's in there. But in each of the Gospels, there were different groups of people that were being talked to. Luke wasn't actually talking to Jews. He was talking more to the Gentiles. After all, he was a Gentile. A good doctor. I think he was a Gentile. I might be wrong. But he was right talking to him. He was talking to Theophilus, who was. Anyhow, I think I'm off track. Here we are. Look at these different books written to different groups to try to make different points about Jesus. And yet each one of them, when you get towards the end, between the time of Jesus' resurrection and his ascension into heaven, which none of them really address too much because that's really addressed in the book of Acts, we have this command that Jesus gives to take the gospel, which literally means good news, to everybody. Don't just take it to just the Jews. Don't just take it to just the Greeks or the Canaanites or the, but take it to all nations. Everybody. And here in the book of Acts, we have the same thing. Just before Jesus ascends into heaven, the last thing we have recorded that he said is, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You, in these passages, means us. In the Great Commission passages, each one of the yous that's spoken of. All authority is in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Who this is directed to, by speaking to the apostles, he is also speaking to us. Same thing in Mark, same thing in Luke, same thing in John, Acts. He's speaking to all those who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, who have believed on the work that he did on the cross. Hear my witnesses. What does a witness do? Anybody? Testify. Give evidence. It's not the witness's job to convince, cajole, fabricate, or come up with anything else. Their job is to say, here's the facts. Now, a good witness presents the facts in such a manner so as not to get in the way of the facts. You know, bad witness would be somebody who's rude and obnoxious and gets some. They may give wonderful testimony, but a lawyer won't put them up there because he's going to alienate the judge and or the jury in his behavior unless he absolutely has to put them up there. There's nobody else who has this information. Otherwise, you know, if we can get a better witness, you know, somebody who people will resonate with, somebody who people will believe. You know, if I have the information but I can't tell you believe in a believable manner, you're kind of like, eh. So we're called upon to be witnesses. We're called upon to make disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a follower. Basically a phrase for somebody who you're following the teacher. If I'm making disciples, who are you making disciples? We're supposed to make disciples of Christ. We're supposed to teach them everything that He taught us. Teach them to follow Jesus. So we're to teach and we're to testify. They're very, very similar. It's all about conveying information so that people can receive it, hear it, understand it, and believe it. And then make it their own. I had a chemistry teacher at the Florida Institute of Technology who was really good. I mean, Florida Institute of Technology is a good school. And I was in his class, chemistry class, and we did one unit, and he gave a test, and the entire class failed. This teacher turned around and said, I obviously did not teach the material if nobody got it. Because you've learned other things that I've taught. We haven't had this issue in previous previous units. So he took an extra couple days. He said, we're going to take a couple of days here and we're going to go over it again and I'll try a different track on it. So he recovered the material. And then he opened up his office for after-hours tutoring. And I went and I spent an hour in his office. And he went through it. And then it clicked like a switch in my head. And I got what it was. And when I took the test again later that week, a different test, same topic, I not only got 100% on the test, but I got all the extra credit. So I got a score of 110% on my test. I'm like, yeah, my best test ever, period, bar none. But yet I had failed the first test. But he was a teacher, and he taught, and we saw that he wasn't learning it. He re-presented the information. Both times he presented the same information. First time I didn't get it. So he did it again. And then he spent private time with me, so I got it. That's what we're called to do. And we're called to be witnesses. We're called to be disciples. We're called to be evangelists. We're to take the information of the good news. The gospel. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for all mankind's sin. And that everybody can be forgiven. Everybody who will receive Him as their Lord and Savior. They can have their relationship with Christ, with God in heaven, reconciled. And they can have eternity in heaven. This is the good news. Now, we can't tell it all the same way to everybody, all the time. Otherwise, all we would need is Billy Graham. Wouldn't need the rest of us. Get a Billy Graham out there, put him on TV, we're good to go. And Billy Graham has led a lot of people to the Lord. But you know what? He's also got people working the phones. He's got people praying for him. He's got other things going on. And when people call in, they still haven't made that commitment. They heard some of the information. Now they want to talk it out a little bit more. So they talk to somebody like Marge on the phone, who then takes and improves upon Billy Graham's message. Oh, would you believe such a thing, Marge? How does she improve upon it? She really doesn't. She just presents it a little bit different side point. Why? She's saying she's able to present her testimony of how God has brought the good news into her life. And she's willing to share it with others on the change that it's brought her and on the promise that's there for anybody else. This command is what we are supposed to do. This is our marching orders. If you're a Christian, this is your direction. See, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So he sent them. Did I read that one, John? Yeah, well, I was supposed to. Luke. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture and told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, that's the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. For everybody. We are commanded. Go out and share the gospel. But I can't go to India. First off, I got a problem speaking English. And they got a whole bunch of languages out there. They got Hindu and Farsi and I don't know, maybe, you know, Fortran and... Well, somebody should laugh. That's computer language. It's not a... Okay, that might be geeky. Don't know what Fortran and ASCII are? Okay, those are computer languages and COBOL. Okay. The light goes on. Oh, the baby's making you laugh. Okay. That's acceptable. We should all take a moment and... Yes. The kids here always love me. You know, then they grow up like JD and they stop laughing. JD's like, yeah. No. We are, each one, commanded to take the gospel, all of Christianity is, and share it with those who don't have it, as witnesses, as disciples, as followers of Christ. This is how we're to live our lives. This is what we're supposed to do. Being a Christian isn't about having all my needs met. Being a Christian is about making sure that everybody else gets to meet Jesus. You get that? The work of a Christian is to worship God and then introduce others to the God to whom they worship. You can boil it down to those two things. Now, if we're doing that right, that means we're loving one another, because that's part of worshiping God and all these things. We can put it all in that. But those two things, worship God and introduce others to the God whom we worship. And introducing God, others to the God whom we worship, is indeed an act of worshiping God. So everything actually can be worshiping God. So actually, everything goes under one heading. It's our job. Worship. But one of the things that we're told to do is, that is, share the gospel. Okay. Am I preaching next week? Okay. The week after then, we're going to look at missions of the church and how the church has started taking this command of God and implementing it. Okay, we've looked at missions in Genesis. We looked at missions just in the life of Christ. Now we've seen the Great Commission, and how we are to take this, and we've been given this task to take missions to the world. 2 weeks. We'll spend the next 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks in October, looking at how the church is doing that through the epistles and the book of Acts. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that somebody else heard the gospel message and shared it with us. That they were faithful to being a witness. That they were faithful to discipling. Lord, might we be faithful as were those who came before us. Might we be obedient to your word and do your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close. We're going to sing the